Blog Talk Radio.
And as they prayed, God
strength and song, shout for victory.
Shema Yashir Allah Ahaya Shema Yashir Allah Ahaya
Moses, Exodus 15, in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, here, O Israel, the Lord our God, is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, co-hosting out there.
Hey,
Carol, are you there?
Got a house full of land lovers. Yeah, I had to shut the door.
Loud and clear, loud and clear. Okay, okay. Sister Jackie, are you out there?
Shalom, lady.
On the table.
Okay, Jackie.
Okay, I think I see Sister Oral. Sister Oral, you're out there.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. All right, guys. Okay, so. We are all here. I don't see Sister Betty yet, but I'm assuming she'll be in, and we're looking for other people to be part of the round table. But at any rate, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this round table, to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at, guess what, 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and click on blogtalkradio.com/GOC Church and look for Restoring Your Daughter to Zion. You can also reach out to us via private email at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. And so much for housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we are here tonight, and I just want to say that for whatever reason, I can't seem to get the show to go any further than 9 o'clock. So it's going to be a tight show tonight, which is fine. And, you know, because otherwise we're actually going into overtime, and maybe there's a different schedule that they put us on, but that's where we're at right now. So I think we want to go ahead and get started. How was everybody's day? Wonderful, I hope.
Shalom.
Good days. Yeah, I just got back in the house. I still have this cough, not as bad as it was last week, but it's still trying to hang on. And I'm trying my best not to let it. I just gotten back in the house from turning over the ground in my brother's yard. I had to came up with the big idea that we could grow vegetables in his yard, you know. And so you pick out two somebodies to get the vegetables started, and me and myself, you know. So my back is like kicking. And my husband did come over and help out, and I'm excited about that. But he's got so much room back there, and every year he just has weeds. So this year we're going to have vegetables growing back there. We planted a lot of things today. At any rate, Carol, why don't you take us before the throne of grace and we can get started with tonight's show.
Absolutely. And, you know, you just gave a little something about what happened with your day. And I want to add something. It didn't happen with my day, but it did happen with part of my week. And I just want to share this with family. I went to the front door to answer it because the bell had rang. And it was a FedEx guy delivering a package, which, you know, we ladies love getting packages. The FedEx guy asked me to sign it, and he said to me, "I like your mat." And I didn't know what he was saying, so I said, "Beg your pardon, what do you mean?" And he goes, "I like your mat," and he pointed to it. So my doormat says Shalom on it, and it has a big lion's face on it. And I said, "Oh, thank you." So he said to me, "How long have you been in the truth?" Right? And so I said, "Oh, we've been studying since 2004. He said, "Oh, that's fantastic. And then I said to him, "Oh, what camp are you with?" Really, I should have said what church, but I used the phrase that most of them understand. And he said, "IUIC." And I said, he asked me mine, and I said, "GOCC." And he says, "Keep up the fight, sister," like that. No argument, no nothing about where my fringe is, nothing like that. It was so beautiful to me because I felt like what when the disciples said to Christ, you know, they're not with us. And he said, if they're not against us, they're for us. And I just felt like this is a wonderful thing, strength. As we watch our brothers doing the same thing that we're doing, yeah, they're not with us, but that's okay. As long as the scripture says Christ's name is glorified, who cares, right?
Amen.
So I felt really good.
All right.
So now enough of my stories. The prayer for the, you know, today. But as I always, I try to read a scripture. And this one's a little lengthy, so bear with me, guys. But sometimes I pick these scriptures out and they work, you know, God's word works so well. It's so manifold. And it just, it's better than our words, right? It's always better than our words. He said, "Speak as the oracle of the Most High." Let us do that. I'm coming out of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I'm start at the first verse. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of a higher, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality might be swallowed up of life." Mortality, that's such a big difference. "Now he that hath wrought us,"
I can go with morality being
"who also have given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that wherever, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, thank you, Father, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Yeshua Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Praise the Most High. Father, forever always, we thank you for your glorious word, Father, your word that touches our heart, your word that changes lives, Father. We thank you. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for calling us, sanctifying us, and then justifying us, Father. We thank you. We thank you for not forgetting us, for remembering your children, your church, Father. We thank you. We thank you for sending your son, who died and rose again for our sins, Father. Who is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, Father. We thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you for the program tonight, and we're asking that you not to be magnified, but you to be magnified. We become smaller, you become bigger, Father. We thank you so much for this opportunity, this blood-bought opportunity that you've given us. We ask you to touch us, as the woman that pressed. To touch the hem of his garment, Father. We're asking all of you to reach out and touch, and that you will then return healing to them, Father. For those that are able to listen tonight, we ask you to bring as much as you can to the program, and that Father will bless you as you begin to talk also. We ask for all these things in the name of the high of us in the shadow, while we walk in prayer.
Okay, everybody, mute your phone for a moment, and then let's see. Okay, can you hear me, Carol? Carol, come back in.
I'm in.
Okay. Jackie, come back in.
Back in.
Yes, I hear you.
Uh-oh.
I don't
you,
hear
Jackie,
echo.
Somehow. I do. I hear an echo.
I don't.
I hear my voice echoing. Let me see. Okay, Aura, come back in. Aura, are you in?
I'm in.
Okay. Well, maybe the echo is going away. Let us pray that the Most High will let the show go on. Okay,
amen.
So, you know, what a blessed prayer that was. And you know how you,
you talked about.
Now you guys don't hear that echo?
We hear it now.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Hang on, guys. You still hear an echo? Yeah.
Nope. Now it's good. But we can't, you're a little soft.
No, I think it's straight up echo.
Say something again.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
That's a lot better. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So let's see if we can go with that. That's
all
better.
Right.
All right. So, like I mentioned, you said, "Behold, you become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I mean that second chance that the Most High gives us is so amazing that He wipes away our sins and lets us become a new creation. What a fabulous thing that is. And I know we said we wouldn't mention this, but I have to. And that's the brother, Kevin Samuels.
Hmm.
When I got the text message that he had passed away, I didn't believe it. I thought it was an internet scam. You know, I thought, okay, this is a publicity stunt, or either it's, you know, they have a lot of people that they have crucified on the internet and
mm-hmm.
send out a pair. Kim Jong-un, he must have died two or three times on the internet, you know. And then, oh my God, and you send that out to the elders, and they go, okay, let's figure this out here, you know. It's like, but nonetheless, there's so much chatter out there about him. I think I see Betty. Hold on. Sister Betty, is that you?
Go on. Sorry, I'm late.
Little soft, sweet voice. Isn't that cute? Okay. So the thing about it is I did want to say a couple of things that just like anyone else that has a difference of an opinion, we're not celebrating the fact that he did ultimately pass away. And there's a lot of controversy about how he died and what happened. And none of us know, you know, the real answers yet. We never know. But I don't feel like it's something that we should be rejoicing about, you know, that no one got the chance to get on the air and introduce him to Christ. Even though he did wear the label as a Christian, there were a lot of things that, you know, maybe he didn't understand that he needed to. But nonetheless, I just wanted to be out there as saying that we don't rejoice that he passed away. We don't. You know,
no.
And if we could have done, if we could have done anything to prevent his untimely passing, we certainly would have. And I would have loved to have had the conversation with him about Christ. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, and I often thought with all the people, Christians, saved, otherwise, why no one ever got on that line, at least I didn't hear it, and try to, you know, instruct him in the ways of Christ. Because that's what's really critical. Never mind.
Because, you know, what some of the men held him up to be the GOAT, God.
Yeah. Well, you know, I listened to some.
They had to tell him anything, that he was doing right.
That's hilarious. Well, I mean, anybody that tells you to go out and have, you know, sex outside of marriage and cheating on your wives and stuff like that is certainly not doing anything in accordance with Scripture. That's just not the Bible. And so the thing is that I just felt like, you know, if someone could have led him to Christ, that would have been a beautiful thing, instead of mm-hmm. him leading us in the direction that he was going in, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how I saw it. And, you know, a lot of the sisters and what have you that they are claiming are rejoicing, I don't know that they're rejoicing. One brother said that they felt like, you know, his life, you know, when someone passes away, that you just call it what it is. You know, they felt like one of the brothers said he was he hated black women and he treated black women badly, and that just because he passed away, we should not all of a sudden erase the boy. But we don't have to go into, you know, destructive, you know, areas of what happened, and just pray that the Most High have mercy. That's all we can do. And, you know, when I listen to,
you know, when I listen to,
when I listen,
when I listen to
his life was like, Okay, guys,
you got an echo.
Yeah, when they said they said that he came up in a single family with just his mom. Okay, she never married. I don't know whether that meant she was a high value or a low value woman, but she did not have another man in her life. And then they said that his father had about 10 kids by miscellaneous women. It's a very interesting concept that he would preach cheating in that kind of a circumstance. It's baffling. And then they mentioned that he also, as he grew up, that he got cancer. And like when he was in college, and when he got cancer, you know, he went the chemo route and all that. And that could very well be why he's not here today. You know, we don't know. But he had some challenges in his life, you know, like most of us. And then one brother was saying, I think it was Omar Epps, and he said that, and I don't want to misquote, but I think he said, the brother found a way to make money by using the internet, and that he started out as a good thing, you know, empowering men, helping men to learn how to organize their lives, to become better men and what have you. And then when he began the women bashing, that's what started to get the numbers up. And so that's where it continued. And so, you know, you never know why.
Men was backing him with dollars.
Say again, ma'am?
You know, men were backing him with, you know, they sent out $20, $10, $20.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
he had that podcast where money, the men were sending out the money.
And if
so,
you've got a million
yeah.
people sending you $10, you're in business, you know?
That's
so
right.
The
yeah.
thing is that whatever he did, you know, sometimes, you know, that so-called great God money can challenge a lot of us to move in a direction that we might not necessarily even believe in, you know?
But you know
and
what's so
what,
sad, Shirley?
Mm-hmm.
You
Go
know
ahead.
What's so sad about this is that his opinion, his ministry, I said, and it was a ministry sort of.
Ministry, that's hilarious.
That it shows us how black men feel about black women.
Could you speak a little louder, Betty?
It shows us how black men feel about us as black women.
That's horrible.
Some black
and their contempt.
That's horrible.
And,
and what, Betty?
And it's how they hold us in contempt.
Well, you mean that their feeling is contempt towards us, right? I mean, I think that's
yes. You know, and I'm not saying that all black, because there's some that's good men who's married to and have
right,
good marriages and stuff. But I'm saying on the world at large, men who have not come into the truth, they have some bad feelings towards black women.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, we promised we weren't going to spend that much time talking about him, so let's please not go back down that young
rabbit hole.
I really don't want to get into that, because the one thing the scripture tells us to speak good of the dead. And that's where we're going to leave it at.
Yes. And so,
I'm really not addressing just him. I was talking about how it makes us realize how men, you know, not just him, but men.
Well,
you know?
There's plenty of us. Look, gangster rap and stuff like that, when rap first began, it was a soft, fun thing. And some of them got serious, like, is it KRS or something like that? And they really were bringing a message. They were, you know, that's the hip-hop side. And they were bringing a real message to help our people. And then when they discovered, meaning the people who are the promoters, discovered that gangster rap brought in more people, they got more money, that's when the fighting started, that's when the name calling started, and they went in the direction of money. Because we know one thing is for sure, the person that picks out what's going to be a hit is the person that's in charge, not these poor writers and singers. They don't have that much power because they don't have the cash to back themselves up.
Exactly.
So our rap went into a negative territory, and that's what I think Kevin Samuels, like Omar Epps, is saying. He found his niche. He found what made him money, and he went with it, whether good, bad, or indifferent.
That was my point.
He went with it.
Exactly.
I didn't have an opinion of him one way or the other. I didn't know anything of him prior to us talking about him on the show, but I know the scripture that comes to mind and tells us to mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice. And this man has a family. He does have people that genuinely love him and genuinely feel like, you know, they benefited from whatever he was saying. So, you know, we have to, like Sister Carol was praying, we are a new creation in Christ. So we have a role to play in certain things that we're supposed to, you know, do that's not like the world. The world is rejoicing. I saw some posts where people were like, I'm so glad he did and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the position that we're supposed to take, you know, as
disciples
of Christ.
You're right.
And so what we were talking about as we discussed it was, it's not so much even what man thinks about us. It's what does the Most High think about us. You know?
Praise Him.
Because when the scripture says we are a new creation, there needs to be something different about us, and how we show who we are. And right now, just the same as we respond to this passing of this guy, it should be different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we are a new creation, and the things that are in us must, like I think it was John said, He must increase and I must decrease. You know, this who we are has to decrease, because there's a day of reckoning for all. And I just want to read what really, you know, kind of blew my mind was when I was reading in Second Esdras, and I just want to go for it right now. I'm going to start at 2nd Esdras chapter 7 and verse 74. I think that's back far enough. It says, for how long the time is that the Most High has been patient with those who inhabit the earth, and not for their sake, but because of the times which he has foreordained. Most High is in charge. And Ezra says, I answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O Most High, show this also to thy servant, whether after death, as soon as every one of us yields up his soul, we shall be kept in rest until those times come when thou wilt renew the creation, or whether we shall be tormented at once. Good question. And he answered me and said, I will show you that also, but do not be associated with those who have shown scorn, nor number yourself among those who are tormented. For you have a treasure of works laid up with the Most High, but it will not be shown to you until the last times. So one of the things I wanted to bring out is that we better get busy living and or get busy dying. Which one is it? You know what I'm saying? Because we better have some works laid up that the Most High can show us when we get out of here. And that's going to not be whether you're high value, low value, or whether you're submissive or what have you. Where are your works? Okay? It says, now concerning death, the teaching is, when the decisive decree has gone forth, I'm going to tell you that decisive decree, when your name is called, look out.
Mm-hmm.
When the decisive decree has gone forth from the Most High that a man shall die, as the spirit leaves the body to return again to him who have gave it, first of all, it adores the glory of the Most High. Okay? And if it is one of those who have shown scorn and have not kept the way of the Most High and who have despised his law and who have hated those who fear the Most High, such spirit, listen. Such spirit shall not enter into habitations, look out, but shall immediately wander about in torments, ever grieving and sad in seven ways. I tell you, when I read that, I broke down. It brought me to my knees because even if not for myself, but for my children and people that I know, imagine them out there when the Most High calls them, when their spirit leaves the body, and they're out there wandering about in torments, grieving, sad, all by themselves. Says the first ways, because they have scorned the law of the Most High. The second way, because they cannot now make a good repentance that they may live. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the time for us to repent and make certain that our election is sure. To make sure, never mind all this foolishness that we're worried about, but are we going to be able to make it into habitation? And it says, the third way, they shall see the reward laid up for those who have trusted the covenants of the Most High. The fourth way, they shall consider the torment laid up for themselves in the last days. The fifth way, they shall see how the habitations of the others are guarded by the angels in profound quiet. The sixth way, they shall see how some of them will pass over into torments. This is scary. That's so scary. And it's not even about hell, fire, burning, all that. But you know, a lot of that torment you can have right here, be tormented just being by yourself, not knowing which way is up, and your soul is just not anchored in the Lord. But once your soul is anchored in Christ and you become that new creation, there's a peace inside of you. You get a portion of that rest. Then it says the seventh way, which is worse than all the ways that have been mentioned, because they shall utterly waste away in confusion and be consumed with shame and shall wither with fear at seeing the glory of the Most High, before whom they sinned while they were alive, and before whom they are to be judged in the last time. I'm going to tell you that is one of the scariest, and I don't mean scary like that, thought provoking. It's a call to action. It's a call to action to say, make sure your election is sure. Make sure that you are walking with the Most High, and then your family, you don't want them out there wandering, you know. And sometimes I think you mentioned it, Carol, when people talking about, yeah, they saw their mother or they saw somebody. Well, that's what the scripture says. You out there wandering around. It says now.
Yeah, and can you go back to the part that talked about a great light? If I missed that, because I'm sorry.
I didn't get to that yet. So it says, then now this is the order of those who have kept the ways of the Most High, when they shall be separated from their mortal body.
Hold on a second. Can you tell me where you are? It's chapter 7, but what?
I'm at chapter 7, second address, chapter 7 and 89. And this may be a translation that the words are a little bit different, because I'm reading it from the Apocrypha.
Well, you know what you're in? You're in the, what do you call it, Apocrypha? You're in the one that has those extra verses.
Yeah, but okay, so let me finish reading this. So, and then, you know, if you want, you can go and read it for me.
It's really good that you're there. It's the,
like the annotated.
Cambridge,
you know, like,
annotated.
Okay, but hold up. Listen, during the time that they lived, okay, here it goes. It says, now this is the order of those who kept the ways of the Most High, when they shall be separated from their mortal body. Because guess what, guys? We all have to be separated from our body, because flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay?
Amen.
So during the time that they lived in it, they laboriously served the Most High and withstood danger every hour, that they might keep the law of the lawgiver perfectly. And we need to be thinking about that. How much labor are we doing for the Most High? Are we worried about foolishness? Are we worried about the cares of this world? Or are we laboring and facing the dangers of whatever is going on to make sure we keep the law of the Most High perfectly? Therefore, this is the teaching concerning them. First of all, they shall see with great joy the glory of him who receives them, for they shall have rest in seven orders. And Carol, I think when you're talking about the light part, it starts in the beginning where it talked about where they will see the glory of the Most High.
Right.
Okay.
And with that part, that goes to like people always talking about these NDEs, which means near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And they all say they see this glorious light that they want to go towards. If we all are going to see that, whether good, bad, or indifferent, that is, we're all seeing the glory, and people who aren't even ready to meet the Lord are seeing the same thing, and that encourages others to think, well, I'm fine. That's deceiving.
Yes.
Because
here's
the rest of it that's coming, that you mentioned all the things that can happen to you if you're not ready after that great light. So don't think those NDEs are saying, come on, because you may not be ready.
Right.
Amen. It says the first order, because they have striven with great effort to overcome the evil thought which was formed with them, that it might not lead them astray from life into death. So when we get those evil thoughts and things that are telling us to not forgive people, or to, you know, don't help somebody because
you know, don't let people take advantage of you. Those are evil thoughts. Those are just evil thoughts.
They don't come from the Most High. Those thoughts
just
don't
continue
come from
to,
the Most High.
Exactly. Continue to strive for the Most High. It says the second order, because they see the perplexity in which the souls of the ungodly wander and the punishment that awaits them. I'm going to tell you something, that wandering, I got to tell you, before Christ came into my life, I felt like a lost soul out there. I don't know if anybody else felt like that, but I felt so purposeless. I felt like this life didn't have much meaning to it.
Right.
You're just kind of just spinning your wheels, and after a while, it's like, who cares if we be here or not? You know, because it was a wandering. And so I think
that is so important, Shirls, because there is a hole in our bodies. We're not connected to the source. He says, I am the vine. I mean, my father is the vine now. And I'm the husbandman, and
we are the
I am the vine, right? I got it backwards, right? We're the branches. And if we're separated from the vine, we've lost that source of life. And think about people who are not connected, that suicide, like all the drugs that they give us today, what does it tell us? If you get thoughts of suicide, and you know, if you're getting thoughts of suicide, you're probably not going to contact your doctor. You might even start taking advantage of these thoughts. So that to me is ridiculous. I just want to know, why do we start feeling thoughts of suicide unless you're putting some kind of, like it says, the word pharmakia is witchcraft into our system? But my real thing that I wanted to bring out was, that hole can only be filled by Christ.
Yeah. By grafting back in.
By him.
Isn't that Paul said? We are grafted back in. And that's when you feel that connection. That's that new creation where we are grafted back in to the vine, where you now feel connected to Christ.
Amen.
So I want to read
you know that song, Take Me Back, you know, where you feel like you've drifted apart, and you can feel that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go back to verse 93, and it says, the second order, because they see the perplexity in which the souls of the ungodly wander and the punishment that awaits them. The third order, they see the witness, which who formed them bears concerning them, that while they were alive, they kept the law, which was given them in trust. Lord knows we got to work hard, guys. We got to work harder to keep the law. Never mind who else is benefiting or not benefiting or what have you. We need to make sure our election is sure.
The fourth order,
they understand the rest which they now enjoy, being gathered into their chambers and guarded by the angels in profound quiet, and the glory which awaits them in the last days. And I'm going to tell you something, that peace that passes understanding, don't the scripture talk about it, will guard your heart and your mind. When you see all this mass confusion and people starting trouble and things going on around you, you wonder, well, what is that all about? You know, just let it go. Leave that alone.
Distractions.
There you go.
We have one mindset. We have to, as Paul said, forgetting those things. Pressing towards the mark. Just want to say this real quick. There's two things I want to say, if I can, unless it's going to mess up your train.
Not at all.
Your trend. We see a lot of noise out there with this abortion stuff and all these various things that people are fighting over. I don't think that's fight. That's not our fight. We were not commissioned to go to Washington and protest or call up our local congressman and protest, wearing out shoe leather and all of that. That's not our commission. We should not get involved with that. At least this is the way I feel. Because even if we stop someone from being gay, we stop somebody from getting an abortion, did they give their lives to Christ? That is not our commission. Christ told us to do one thing. Go ye forth, right? He didn't tell us, stand up for abortion. Stand against the LGBT. He didn't tell us that. He told us one thing. Don't get distracted. Because, see, when you get distracted, you become weak. Because you don't remember what you're out there for. Right? And that's the one thing I want to say. But here's the other thing I want to say. And that was a sidebar, by the way.
Okay.
Someone mentioned about being grafted in. One of you did. And I love that. So I went to see about what grafting is all about. Because we know what that means. But it says this. How to graft something. It says, the cut you make should be angled upwards so the two cuts can easily be joined together. Hook the two plants together at the cut and fasten. Hook the upper tongue of the scion plant into the wedge created by the cut in the rootstock plant. Secure the joint with a grafting clip or by wrapping it in lead tape. Now, I just want to say this. Christ was wounded in the side by the Roman. He was cut.
Okay.
He used that as a place to graft us in. He said, I'm the vine. We are being grafted in right in that hole. When I saw that, I said, this is amazing.
Wow. Amazing.
He is just. To me, I just can't even describe how wonderful he is. We grafted right in there. Thank you.
He uses everything, you know.
Nothing left over.
Amen. Amen.
Go
ahead.
See, the son saved is truly saved.
Amen.
Amen.
He sets free indeed, and so we need to exercising our freedom and walking in that newness of life and really begin to embrace it, you know, embrace it not with sadness, but with gladness. Be glad about it. We got so much glad about it. Some of us walk around so much like with these complaining looks on our face, like make yourself smile, you know, stop looking at me. Let's embrace. Come on now.
Love it.
Wow. Before I came to this place in Christ, I was like on a roller coaster. Like I was so like, I had such an imbalance. And at some point I knew it. And I was like, I got to get off here. This is deadly. Like, my life is so up and down all around. One day I'm up, one day I'm down, you know. And at some point, if we continue to examine ourselves and take our eyes off other people and stop putting other people in hell and check our own lives out and straight up, that's how I got off the roller coaster. I don't live my life like that. Like, I'm steady, you know. I'm not going to be up today and down tomorrow. You know, I'm mad today, I'm glad tomorrow. You're going to see me, and I got an attitude today. But when you see me again, hey, Shalawan.
You're always the same.
We have to really embrace our lives in Christ and know that, you know, it's salvation. They say salvation is free. But, you know, it takes a lot of work to, you know, We have to work out our soul salvation. We do have to work. You know, it costs us everything. Really, it costs our very life. We're supposed to lay our life down. So,
And so, the thing is,
to ourselves. You know, we ought to die daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and see, the thing is that that's just working. Go ahead, Sheila. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying we have to die daily. And I think the problem lies in where we start mixing truth with untruths. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Get off that fact that we start adding a some truth, but not all truth. And it sounds like, hey, that sounds great. It's just like when the devil came to Eve and he started speaking to her. He had a little bit of the truth, but it made her gravitated towards him, but that causes confusion. Every time you mix truth with it gives you that confusion, and it makes you start getting that split, you know what I'm saying, where you become a double mind. So stay to the truth, you know, and make sure what you are looking at is the truth, and go to scripture. You know, if there's a question, go to scripture and let scripture interpret itself. You know, just keep, you know, if you have a question, because just because somebody said it and it sounded like it came from the Bible doesn't mean it's the truth. But a lot of times you think over and over, you start thinking, well, yeah, he spoke truthfully. But we, you know, if you don't know, please don't say that, because you need to examine it, just like you said, examine yourself, but also examine what comes into your ears. Make sure
you're hearing, and you know,
many people will speak things that are truth, but in the wrong spirit. They're not in the right spirit, and it's for their heart intent.
And I think that it's almost like what caused our father and mother, Adam and Eve, to fall, because they were reaching for things that were too great for them. You know?
Yes.
They wanted to be like gods. They wanted to be more than what they were. And so sometimes trying to become somebody that you're not, let's reach for the cross. Let's reach for Christ. Let's humble ourselves. That's what the scripture tells us to do.
Exactly.
If we humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. Praise
him. Praise him. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? And the brother brought this out at our congregation the other week, and I might have said it already before. You just now said that Adam and Eve were reaching for something that they shouldn't have been reaching for.
Right.
And, you know, remember we talked about Oz never did give nothing to the Tin Man
that
he didn't already have.
Right.
Whose image was Adam and Eve made in?
God's image.
Mm-hmm. So they were already like God. How did the devil trick them to wanting to be something you already are? And how many times has that happened to us? We're reaching for something we already have.
Right. Yeah. Somebody told us that we were no good. Somebody told us that, well, you know, we're low class. No. You are more priceless than when the Most High has saved you.
That's right. You are invaluable. There's no price.
You can't be worth more.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With a man or a woman that's in Christ, you're part of that generation that's made for the world to come.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not for the world to come. Let me.
That's right. You are the heir apparent.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there. You are an heir. Joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What more can you want?
It says,
"Help to really meditate and just take it in. We are made in the image and likeness of Christ. That is just awesome.
I don't even understand how we." What do we need with these people that are doing all this, what's that stuff called, cosmetic changes?
Mm-hmm.
We're here. We're here. It's very jokey looking.
From all over, you know. All over. I don't normally watch TV, and I was watching TV last night. I found myself watching TV with my husband. He was watching Saints and Sinners, and I said, "Oh my God, I can't take this anymore."
I'm so green
when it comes to TV, and I was like, okay, this is why we act like this. This is a powerful distraction. Like, I can't fight stuff like that. I'm like, I got to go to bed. I can't take this in. This is crazy. Some of the stuff they do and how they're using us as models in these movies, this lady, she had this man, and she took the keys from him, stole him from the hospital, kidnapped him from the hospital. It's usually the other way around, but I'm like, okay, I see why some of us act like the way we do because of what we're watching. We watch this stuff. We listen to this stuff, and we don't realize the impact it's having on us. We think, oh, we strong. Oh, I'm good. I got the word. I ain't got to worry about that. But that's why we're walking around with all these indifferences, and we're not walking in the image of Christ because we take it open in our ear gate and our eye gate to all of these things that are pulling us away from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We think the things that are – so let me finish reading it. We're at verse 96. We're almost done. It says, the fifth order, they rejoice that they have now escaped what is corruptible. Now, you know, I'll tell you, when you start walking with Christ, when you've heard the voice of the Lord, and you come out of the world of sin, because I'm going to tell you something, it wasn't like I was on drugs or, you know, anything like that, but I'm telling you, my soul was in trouble. You know, my soul was going to this world of darkness. And I was out there wandering like a wandering soul. And I'm telling you, it said, when you have escaped what is corruptible. Oh, my God. When you come out of that foolishness where you have to be a part of trying to be involved in what this madness is going on in the world. And shall inherit what is to come. And besides, they see the straits and toils from which they have been delivered. You know, and see, we get a little piece of that right down here when we start walking with Christ. You look out there, sometimes I'm standing in my doorway, and you see some of these poor folks passing by that are strung out on drugs. Oh, my God, poor people, poor people. Giovanni and them put some bags of clothes out and put them out in front of the door. And these drug addicts went and opened up the bags, and they had everything laid out on the front lawn. And it's like, what's going on out there? And yeah. And they were like in a whole nother world, a whole nother world. And
having their own garage sale.
Exactly. Johanna came out the door and she said, what's going on? She got cursed out by the girl. You know, so it's like these things, it's like they're in their own, they're in their own madness going on, and getting delivered from that, getting delivered. It's like if you could just reach out and touch somebody and just give them a little piece of Christ. If you could just, you know, like Paul and Peter, and then say, "Flesh and blood have I, money have I none, but that which I have, I give unto you." You know, silver and gold have I none. And so if you could just touch them on the shoulder and just let them get a piece of Christ, that's what needs to be coming forth from our mouths, from our hearts, from our spirit, to help deliver some of these people. And it said, and the spacious liberty which they are to receive and enjoy in immortality. We're almost done with that. The sixth order, which it is shown to them how their face is to shine like the sun, and how they are to be made like the light of the stars, being incorruptible from then on. And the seventh order, which is greater than all that have been mentioned, because they shall rejoice with boldness and shall be confident judgment without confusion and shall be glad without fear, for they hasten to behold the face of him whom they serve in life and from whom they are to receive their reward, then glorify. This is the order of the souls of the righteous, as henceforth is announced, and as the aforesaid are the ways of torment, which those who would not give heed shall suffer hereafter. Says, and I answered and said, will time therefore be given to the souls after they have been separated from the bodies to see what they have described to me? He said to me, they shall have freedom for 7 days, so that during these 7 days they may see the things of which you have been told, and afterward they shall be gathered in their habitations. I answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, show further to me, thy servant, whether on the day of judgment the righteous will be able to intercede for the ungodly or to entreat the Most High for them. Fathers for sons, or sons for parents, brothers for brothers, relatives for kinsmen, or friends for those who are most dear. He answered me and said, since you have found favor in my sight, I will show you this also. The day of judgment is decisive and displays to all the seal of truth. Just as now a father does not send his son, or a son his father, or a master his servant, or a friend his dearest friend, to be ill or sleep or eat or be healed in his stead. So no one shall ever pray for another on that day. Neither shall anyone lay burden on another, for then everyone shall bear his own righteousness and unrighteousness. And stand by yourself. That tells us right then and there, it's too late once you step out of this life.
That's right.
It's too late. We have to continue to pray for our loved ones now. And ourselves. Are we ready to meet the Most High? If our spirit is separated from our bodies tonight, will we be out there wandering? Or will we be taken into holy habitation? If that's not a burden for us to deal with, what is? You know what I'm saying?
Right?
We've forgotten about that. So tied up in, you know, my husband, he looked at me, you know, and I didn't like how, you know, he comes home late. He's playing Nintendo. And, you know, when people got in church, they didn't say shalom to me. All of that's nonsense. It's nonsense. When that sister, the poor drug-infested sisters were out there trying to rip through the clothes, the question is, do you know Christ in the power of resurrection? Do you know him? Because we still have to have those works laid up, and it's not just we swept the floor in the church. Who did we bring to Christ? Where's that labor? And if it's nothing but the husband that lives in our house, or the mother or father that watched us and said, oh my goodness, she's got something different about her, that we lifted up Christ in our life and we drew others to us. We drew them to Christ because of that's where that where we have to learn submissiveness, where we let go of foolishness, where we become that sweet and quiet spirit that is precious in the eyes of the Most High. This is where we have to. So the question is, where does your soul lie today? Anybody, give us your testimony. Let's talk about it. Area code, press 1, get into the host queue. We only have an hour, a little less than an hour left, because for whatever reason, the show is only allowing me to schedule it till 9 o'clock. I see area code, I thought I saw area code 856 in the queue, but it looks like they jumped out because they thought I was going to drag them in, and I sure was. So, one, get into the host queue and talk to us. Tell us. All right, here you go. Area code 856. You're on the phone with the Daughters of Zion. Let's hear your testimony, sis.
I said mostly I had just wanted to really listen, but you want to hear a testimony?
Go right ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll share a testimony with you. I say about 5 years ago, before I came to the Gathering of Christ Church, my son and I, I understood the word about, you know, the truth that we're in, understanding the commandments and eating, not eating abominable foods, and keeping the Sabbath and getting rid of the pagan days, the holidays that we were raised in. And we were just keeping the Sabbath here at home. And I think I shared this before, I'm not sure, but we were just keeping it here. But I had prayed and asked the Most High, will he guide me and lead me to a people who understood the Bible as I did and who believed as I did. And I needed to be, I wanted to be around, you know, strong men. Being a widow, I wanted to be around strong, godly men that could guide my son. And he was about 10, and I wanted to get there before he became a teenager. I remember watching this one guy that I was just letting him be a teacher to me. I didn't know him, but he was Hebrew. He knew we were Israel, so I just was following his lessons. But there came a point in time he started talking about someone named Elder Rakah. He was openly rebuking him. And I said, well, the Bible says we have an ought with our brother. We should go to our brother. So when he did that, I knew he was off, but he did it maybe two or three more times when I would watch a lesson. So then I just said, well, I need to find out who this Elder Rakah is. And once I found out, you know, I started watching the lesson, I think, around that December 2017. Then the Passover came, and I'm in the house boo-hooing because I can't get to the Passover because I couldn't contact anybody. I didn't have the number to reach out. And I'm like, Father, I keep calling this number, and I'm not getting through. And I said, but I know one thing. I will be at the next Passover. And the Most High blessed. I was able to get in touch with Sister Robert and Bishop Amoth that April, and I went to the church, and I've been there ever since. So that's a testimony, and my son is growing, you know. So,
Anybody
else talk? I just wanted that is my testimony, how he brought us to the truth.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to put you back in the queue, and I want to thank you for that testimony. You know, I appreciate it. And all of us just coming to the truth. And the one thing we got to make sure is when we come to the truth, it's not that we just have head knowledge. We've got to have more than just head knowledge of the scriptures because, and so the sister, she was trying so hard to make sure her son made it in. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not just all that you know stuff, because the devils know and believe in God and tremble, you know?
And tremble. And that's what I need to be a change in you.
Sister Betty, let's hear. Go ahead.
That's what I keep saying. You know, people, they know stuff. You know, the devil know the word. People use this word to do evil with it. They'll tell you it's okay, it's right to choose somebody's husband or using this word. And so we have to have that right spirit. We got to have that spirit of love and truth
Love, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something has to have changed you. Something has to have made you better than you were. You have to be, it's like there should be something where you can see you're not the same. You're not the same.
Oh, you wanted me to test them? You wanted me to, are you talking to me, Sister Shirley?
No, I'm just talking in general. Sorry, Sister Betty. No, I appreciate what you just said. I was just basically throwing out there that, you know,
just having the information about the truth and knowing,
right,
you know, knowing all of that and teaching all this stuff about the name and all that is wonderful.
Oh.
But if there is no change in you,
mm-hmm,
you're going to
no
end
change.
Up in torment. You're going to end up in confusion.
Right.
And guess what you also find is, what you also find is, they won't stay because there's always more knowledge out there. There's always something more. I remember when we were studying with this sister named Afua. Why can't I remember this sister's name? But anyway, maybe the Most High doesn't want me to give it on the air. My mouth is so big. But anyway, she was such a steadfast walker with Christ. She knew so much about the scriptures and the holy days and the this and the that. And we were so excited with her and never met her, but talked to her on the phone, sent all kinds of information back and forth over the internet. Then after a while, she began heading down another path, talking about Egyptology, and now she's involved. She's some kind of a African priestess, and her husband does ceremonies and all this kind of stuff, and no longer she has moved past being a Hebrew. It's like that's the end of the line.
She's outgrown it.
Yes,
yeah.
Because it was just knowledge. It was only head knowledge. When it's in your heart, this is what makes for a good marriage.
That's right.
This is what makes for good relationships with people in the church and with others. Because when that was changing you, who do you know that was really, you know, battling with Christ other than those that were really outside of the word?
I want to share something.
Go ahead.
John 3,
mm-hmm,
verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yeshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except a higher be with him. Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Ahiah. And I look at that word, see it, comprehend also.
Amen.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again.
Hear
me blowing at where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? I just want to read that because that is what we're really and truly saying. Nicodemus didn't understand it either.
That's right.
He wanted to know, what is this thing? I've been keeping, you know, the law for the longest.
Right.
I know all about fringes and meat trees and holy days and being in what tribe I'm in. What are you trying to sell here?
Mm-hmm.
And Christ, all that head knowledge ain't doing you a bit of good, because that's flesh.
Because it's what Christ has done in you, you know, that thing, you know, not what you have done. And that's what a lot of people talk about. Well, I've done this, I've done that. But what did Christ do for you? How did he change you? You know,
that's right.
You can be you can be like that fig tree with just the leaves and no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you're looking good, but where's your fruit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why we've got to examine ourselves, because, you know, what's Galatians say about the fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those mm-hmm. things, are those things part of who we are?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. A young man in the family came to me, and, you know, I'm constantly trying to, you know, stuff the Bible down his throat in any way that I can. And it becomes difficult, but he came to me and he said to me, you know, I finally understand why Christ had to die and be crucified for us. He said it didn't make any sense before. He said it just seemed like that the Most High sent Christ down here and he was defeated. You know, he was killed, and it looked like a weakness in Christ. He said, I never said anything to you about it, but it sure looked like it was a weakness that God had, where he sent his son down there and they beat the crap out of him and killed him. He said, I just didn't understand it, but now I understand it. And he just broke down and cried. And I just felt like flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. But
that's right.
Has revealed that to you, because now this day has salvation come to your home. You know,
yeah.
You woke up and you just realized, oh my goodness, the word of God is true.
Amen.
That's what revelation knowledge that you get, and you wake up, and then you got to turn around, because then there's a change in you.
You're
walking in the direction you were walking in.
Uh-huh.
That's when you just didn't become convicted. You were converted. And that's the difference is. That conversion has to take place.
Yes.
It has to be a change.
People will notice a difference in you. They'll say, wait a minute. There's something different about you. And you'll feel that peace as well.
And the change can be when you start feeling that need to do things differently from what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You start recognizing, because you know what? You don't even know you're a big sinner until the Most High reveals that to you. You're running around here thinking you're good, because morally good people are some of the hardest people to talk to, because they don't think there's anything wrong. All is good.
Exactly.
And like they always say to you, I read the Bible. I believe the Bible. Can you tell us the story about the young man you met that was saying those exact words?
And that's exactly what happened, because I asked him, well, how do you know that you are saved? And he says, well, I've known this ever since I was a little child. You know, I always believed in God. So I said, well, the devil believes in God too. He said, what? I said, of course he does. He was there at the time when, you know, he was up in heaven with God, and the Most High had to, you know, throw him out. So I said, of course he does. So he said to me, well, the Bible says that if a man believes in God, he shall be saved. He quoted that scripture that talks about that.
Shall call upon the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm.
The Lord shall be saved. But so I'm saying it's not just that belief, or what is belief? That's what we need to understand.
Yes, what is
belief? Because just like we were talking, that you might believe that a person can take this wheelbarrow across a tightrope, and they'll say, sure, he can do it. So you really believe that? Well, get in that wheelbarrow. Who is going to get in that wheelbarrow? Do you really believe that? So that's what I'm saying. We're saying we believe, but just like in the Bible, the guy said, Lord, help my unbelief, because he even knew that there's something that he did not believe right. But that's what we have to do sometimes, we have to ask the Most High to help our unbelief, because mm-hmm. sometimes if you can't see it, it's hard to believe it. It's hard to believe. You can't fathom it. But guess what? Christ can give you that sight. He can yes. give that to you, but you got to ask him. He says he's standing at the door and knock. If mm-hmm. anyone, mm-hmm. he said, he will come in and sup with you. So he's there. He said he's not far away. But he said, mm-hmm. if you search for me with all your heart and all your mind, on your soul, yeah. you will find him. And you'll feel that release.
Yeah, that's right.
The Most High is so good that way. You ask him and you shall receive. And that's what he's talking about. Ask and you shall receive. Keep on asking. Keep on asking until you hear him, until you can hear his voice. Because he said, my sheep, hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to learn to hear that voice.
Yes, yes. And you know what? If we're not walking close enough to the Most High, we won't hear his voice. We got to be walking close. Hold on, guys. We got to call area code 864. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion.
Shalom, sisters.
Maria. Shalom.
From the Atlanta GOCC body.
Hi.
Shalom.
I was just enjoying the discussion, and you were just asking what our testimony.
Yes.
It just let me see. It's been over a year back during the holy day of pagan Christmas, where
mm-hmm.
I asked not this past Christmas, but the year before. I just asked for truth. It was just like you were saying. It just felt like something was just missing. Although
mm-hmm,
you're
mm-hmm.
seeking, and you know you're trying to read the Bible, but it just things were just not clicking. You just like
mm-hmm.
felt like you're just reading words.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I cried out for truth, and all of a sudden I just kept getting these different feeds with the YouTube thing, and I'm like, what is this? Like, this is weird. And I was like, okay, well let me just listen. So I was like listening, and then was one young guy that caught my attention because he yelled. So I don't follow him or anything anymore, but he was talking about the tree being pagan, and then he went to Jeremiah 10, and I was like, wait, I've never seen that. They just talk about Jeremiah 29. You know, like, what is this? And it convicted me so that my husband was trying to bring things up because people were coming to him with the truth. And I was like, no, we're going to go to church. What you're trying to say, you know, that Jezebel spirit that I had to, you know, bury, laid at the rest after being baptized. She in that lake down there, down in Georgia, in that tab is far, far behind. Dead. And I took that tree, I took that down, threw that in the box, and any kind of crosses and stuff, I just start throwing that stuff, and my husband was like, what is going on? I was like, hey, these idols. These are idols. And I just so happened, ran across the GOCC ministry just by, you know, I just kept running through it, because I was like, I'm confused. They seems like they have a radio show, and I don't know if mm-hmm. I said this before, and I was like, I'm confused. Is this a radio show or what? And I was like, just listen. Stop just looking. Listen. So I stopped, and I just listened, and I was like, whoa, they're actually bringing the truth. And I'm like, okay. And I stayed, and I was like, I'm no tossing to and fro. I'm not going to be listening to this person, that person, or this, that, and the other. And It's blessed my family. It truly has. My husband is in the truth, and my daughter, she's 14. We're all just trying to do this walk up. I've been praying for my son that he's, you know, he's pricked, and I figure just keep living the life and walking in the truth and applying it. I just have to be more obedient and actually opening the book and just seeking it out. I'm like, okay, I feel lost. Am I just spinning it just to whatever page, or am I just starting at Genesis and ending? And I mean, I've been in several of the Hebrew and Bible Academy, so I got all my scriptures down of, you know, going back to study those things. But, you know, I'm like, to know the go back and forth, you know, but I'm like, okay, it's not Bible. This is the Word of God. Just like last broadcast that was brought out, it, I was like, I know every time I saw, you know, you see the commercial that they call and on the chat, it's like, whoa, it just always resonates and strikes deep, you know, when Elder Lawyer says that. I'm like, man, that deep.
Is
it is.
The Word of God.
Right? Yes. I mean, you already know his voice just period. That's when my husband's like, yeah, I like those people because I like how that man sound. He sound like God. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how my husband got hooked because of Elder Lawyer's voice. So he's like, yeah, okay, we can roll with it.
You know what? Sometimes it takes different things for different people to be drawn into the truth. And the thing is to just continue to keep carrying your cross daily. I mean, even though that's a word that's controversial in some camps, I think we all know what we're talking about when Paul said that we must die daily to ourselves.
Right.
We must nail ourselves to the same stake that Christ was on and try to walk with him, because we have to make our election sure. Make sure that whatever we got, it's not just head knowledge, that we're actually changing, that our hearts are being, you know, I like what you said, that your son's being pricked, you know, where your mind and your heart is being pricked, where you know how to go back to a person and say, you know what, I apologize.
Right.
I didn't mean to say those things to you. Where you can say that to your husband, where it just makes for better wives. It makes for better children. And I remember when Christ came into my life, and that was before I came into the truth. But I was out there wandering around and didn't know which way up was, and was married with 4.5 kids and was just going crazy. You know, just going crazy because life was too hard. You know how Christ says, my burden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's like, well, what the heck does that even mean? You know, that's what I was feeling like. But when you truly put on Christ and you let your life become, you know, back connected to that, to grafted back in. It wasn't like the Most High changed my circumstance. I still had a bunch of kids. I still lived in the ghetto. I still lived in a dump. I still had the same husband, but he's a mind regulator. You know,
you dealt with it better.
My soul was set free. Yeah.
And just give you a different perspective.
Yes.
You just like it was like.
See. Go ahead, sis.
Yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, it's like, it's just a difference, like, in your heart. It's just the overwhelming feeling of, like, love.
Amen.
And to know that Christ has the compassion to lay his life down, although we were sinners and stiff-necked, and it's just sometimes it's overwhelming. That, I mean, all I can do is cry. I mean, it's just that touching, you know.
Yeah. Praise the Most High for you, sister. Keep on walking. Keep on.
You know, I just want to add something to what Sarah said, which was so profound when she said about that love. Sometimes we think that, oh yeah, sure, that. It's just a feeling. But in 1 John 3:14-16, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Amen.
Whoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of Ahiah, because he laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. So you're right, sister. It was a difference. It was a love that came upon you. You know, that song that says, oh, the joy
that came to me. You know what I'm talking about. When I knew, you know what I'm talking about, right? That I was free. The Savior mm-hmm. found me, put his loving arms around me. Oh, the joy that came to me. And I know what the sister's saying. Because, you know, when she said that thing about reading the scriptures, I always complained to my mother, I don't even know what them things are talking about, all the bees and the thous. And we go to school and we will conquer Shakespeare, and he's got the bees and the thous, but we ain't just up in the class telling our teacher, who can understand that crap? No, you go on in there and you fight your way through, but when it comes to the scriptures, I can't you get me to that other version? You know, all kind of foolishness. But it's a funny thing. When Christ picked me up and turned me around and I opened up that Bible, I could understand it. Amen. I didn't even know where that came from because I couldn't understand it before. You know how they say, I ain't trying to hear that. I wasn't trying to hear it. But when I opened up that word, I read the New Testament backwards and forwards, maybe 15 times. I'd get on that train and I'd go to reading. Before I knew it, I was in Revelation. I was starting over again.
And
I
read in the Word.
And I was understanding. That's
you
what I wanted.
You got to stay in that Word. Stay, because you know what? You'll also find that you have a love for the Word.
That's right.
You found love for the Word of God because it comes to life. The word that you read, all of a sudden, it's like, I never saw that. Oh, my goodness. That means so much. All of a sudden, you get that revelation knowledge where you can't wait to know more about the word. When I was reading it, it was like, I almost couldn't put the book down. It's like, my goodness, there's a lot of, so much in the scriptures, so much there. Our spirit bears witness the word. And how many things can we do that? You turn on the TV and you know your spirit don't bear witness. You almost have to cover your eyes and your ears and almost cry when you turn on some of that stuff with the stuff that's going on in there. Witness with your soul.
Yeah. I don't even watch TV anymore.
I know that's right. Thank you.
You know, I just want to say I love you all. I mean, I know I probably not truly ever met you personally, but it just feels like even when I go and I'm amongst my Atlanta body, it's just, I mean, just the big gulf of love.
Well, sister, I want to ask you. Sister, when you guys do Cease of Tabernacles, where are you guys doing Cease of Tabernacles this year? Because I know that last year a lot of the Atlanta body came up to our camp and we had Cease of Tabernacles together.
Oh, I know we had it at AHB Park. It's a whole bunch of letters.
Okay.
And it was far away. It's like getting ready to go towards Savannah. It was beautiful. It was my first pass because, like I said, I just knew to the truth a little over a year. So,
next time you go to Passover, make sure you try to find us because we always try to find each other to say, howdy.
Okay.
Sure, I saw a message with Diana, sister Jackie this year, just crazy. So,
awesome! I surely will. I surely will.
All right,
amen.
I'm gonna put you back in the queue. And if anybody else wants to come back in and tell us a testimony, we only have until 9 o'clock tonight. Just press 1, get into that host queue, and come on, join in and tell us. How the Most High changed you? What has happened in your soul?
I just want to give a little bit in reference to my husband's testimony, which is also part of mine, because he came to know the Lord before me, and I was an angry chick when that happened. I just want y'all to know that. So any of you who have given your life to Christ and your family members haven't joined, just wait for the fullness of time, because I was very angry with my husband. I felt he was breaching our contract, that, you know, partying and drinking and smoking and hanging out. Well, I didn't do a lot of that because I had already had children, a baby. So that kind of had kiboshed that idea, but still I had my girlfriends and things, and we'd chit-chat on the weekend. Hey, let's grab some beer. And well, I didn't know how to handle the weekend without sitting up there and being blasted. So anyway, my husband and I had broken up. You know, I don't want to go into that, but we were. That scripture that someone just mentioned a little while ago, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Lay down thy burdens. That is my husband's Damascus Road scripture. That is his favorite, because that's what he was told to do, to take on Christ's yoke and get rid of the yoke of heroin. And cocaine and alcohol and smoking. My husband was hooked on drugs, and I thought that when we got married he would put that down because I thought it was recreational. I didn't understand addiction. I didn't. And I just was like, I felt like you betrayed me because you were not, you were hooked on these things, and you should have just put them down because I put down things. And so when he found the Lord and he came to me and he told me that, I told him he was lying, you know, who would believe one more lie, you know, how many lies, lies on top of lies. And so when he proved it to me, but he proved it by not doing those things. So I decided I would stop smoking, too, because, you know, ain't no big deal. I'll just stop smoking because anybody can do that. So I stopped smoking. It was very hard. It was painful. But I did it just to prove him wrong that you ain't saying nothing slick. Now, I don't even know why I did that, because I was raised kind of in the church. He was not. He was raised as a Catholic, and he didn't know anything about that. He couldn't have cared less. Anyway, I did a lot of dastardly things that stop him from going to church. And, you know, I was being a sinner. I didn't understand what I was doing. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Most High changed my husband, he not only took heroin, cocaine, and alcohol, but he took cigarettes away from him in one day.
Amen.
I've never touched that stuff again. Amen. No rehabilitation. None of those places that his mother had tried to put him in, Phoenix houses and all those things. He gave it up.
Amen.
And the Most High changed him. And immediately when he got involved in the work, he just wanted to get out on the street and tell the world what the Most High had done for him. He'd be out there on 42nd Street screaming, do you know him?
Amen.
And I'm telling you all right now, that's why I was telling you his testimony, because his is much more than mine. His is a beautiful testimony. And he's been praising the Most High ever since. No heroin, no cocaine, none of that stuff came back. And the funny thing, and believe it or not, he stopped biting his nails the same day, because he used to bite his nails down so bad, he got an infection.
I tell you, the Most High is a mind regulator.
I'm just telling y'all that, you know, the power of the Most High is powerful.
Yes.
Keep and on. We cannot deny that. That Damascus Road that he had, that was like when Paul was hit by that lightning, struck.
Amen.
And he turned around, and the Father says, no man puts his hands to the plow and turns back. He's unworthy.
Amen.
And that's what we're talking about tonight. Pressing towards that mark.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to share.
Of the high cost.
And you know, when Carol started walking with Christ, I thought she was crazy. I said, oh, no. Because Carol, you know, she started walking Christ. And we were, like she said, we were raised in the church.
Right.
But it don't matter where you're at in life. When you start really, when you've been touched by Christ, a change happens to you.
Yeah.
And so Carol, you know, she's kind of like me. She's fanatical about everything she does. And then all of a sudden, it didn't matter what she even wore, the clothes she was wearing. And back in those days, all we wore were clothing, you know. That outward appearance was very important. And I mean, it was like, I looked at the buttons on this coat she had on. It must have been 3 inches. I said, Carol, you know, you ain't got to look like you walking with God. You ain't got to look like these people. What is this? And me and my other sister, we just went to talking about her. Talking about her. But you see, the
thing she come with that big Bible.
And she just kept coming around us talking. That did not bring me into the truth or into Christ. I had a whole different Damascus Road experience. But I'm just telling you, what will happen is there will be a change in you when you begin to walk with Christ. When Christ calls you, it's when he says born again, he means that. You are going to change. There's going to be a difference in you. And that's what's critical about it. And you will continue to walk in righteousness. You won't turn back either. Because the scripture says, whosoever the Son has set free is free indeed.
It was
the word of God that kept us in the church, and it was the word of God that brought us into the truth. Okay? It will always be his word. So we're grateful tonight. Grateful tonight that we can continue to talk about the way that the Most High has blessed us and touched us and changed our heart. And I just want to throw this out there, too, because the Most High did come into my heart and into my life and changed me. He did.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't change my husband. Carol said her husband began to walk with Christ. He found Christ. My husband did not, at least while we were together, continued doing the things he was doing. And I kept asking God why. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't matter whether or not your brother walks with Christ, your father, your sister, your husband. You walk with Christ, you know?
That's right.
I could not turn back. I could not change back into that person that I was. And my husband was actually glad I began walking with Christ because it was less for him to worry about. He didn't have to worry about me cheating on him. He didn't have to worry about me, you know, still lying and doing anything, going off. He didn't have to worry about that. All of a sudden, I used to hear him brag about what the righteousness of God had done in my life. He wouldn't tell me, but I heard him over telling his friends because he was blessed by it. And you know how the scripture says, The saved wife sanctifies the unsaved husband. So the thing is that, you know, we have so many reasons to walk with the God of our salvation, you know, just make it. Anybody else that wants to testify, anybody, just press one, get into the host queue. We only got about 8 more minutes to be on the air. Because we have, for whatever reason, I have not been able to register it long later than 9 o'clock. But nonetheless, I do want to thank and praise the Most High that I've been on the phone with y'all almost all this time, and I've only coughed a couple of times, right? It wasn't right.
Where
did
Maven hear?
Oh, you're healed.
Oh, yes. Praise the Most High, because I'm telling you, yes. I was coughing so much. I was like, I can't take you nowhere. You know, thank you. But I went out there today and I worked my tail off in the yard, you know, turning over the ground.
Beautiful
and,
day to do that. Yes.
It sure was. Planting seeds and getting the vegetables down in the ground. We got a lot accomplished today, you know. But the thing about it is that, you know, let's work while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work, you know.
That's right.
And so we serve a God and just keep on reading those scriptures. Anybody got a, Betty, you want to bring anything else before the time is up?
Well, you know, when you mentioned Christ to me, I feel like jumping up and shouting. And tears, because let me tell you, oh, he brought me out.
I know that.
You know,
right.
It was how I was in the world, and when I asked, I wanted the light, and I was seeking Krishna and all those, you know, and I prayed for the light. I believe in God, and I know that that was the light. And I don't like to share this story because it's people think I'm crazy when I share this story. But I was being held down on the bed by some sleep paralysis, and it was happening at random times, and I was so afraid to sleep at one point.
Hey, Betty, I've heard people say those things.
And this is the year of 95, when 3 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, the voice whispered in my ear to cast them out in the blood of Jesus. I said Jesus because that's what it said in Jesus. And then I sat up on the side of my bed, and I actually was trembling in fear, because when I had laid down, I was in a sleep paralysis. But when the voice whispered to me, I sat up, and I heard these footsteps running through my bedroom like teenagers. Or they were saying, me first. And I'm like, I don't see them, but I could hear them. And so the next Sunday, some Sunday, I went to the church where a friend of mine who was at work had been inviting me, and I did not miss a Sunday. I got into the hostess ministry, and I did not miss a Sunday for 20 years. I was going there, and I was shouting all over the place. That song is, when I think of the goodness, what he did for me, how he died on Calvary to set my soul free, I could dance all night. And I would dance down those aisles. I stood up for 3 months crying because that voice had set me free.
Amen.
Because I don't know why he was so good to me, to give me that. Maybe
Amen.
I was going to die.
You were bound up. Well, you know, you were telling me that there were other people in your family that were bound up in spirits and things like that. And so you had a whole different experience than other people. The most important thing is, he, like you said, he brought you out. He brought you out of that realm. And I've heard people say that they've experienced somebody holding them down at night. Lord have mercy. I'm grateful.
Well,
for that.
Let me say this, that my son was about 14 years old, and my husband and I was in the bed, and he started screaming, "Mommy, help me, Daddy, help me." And we came into his room, and he was laying there on the bed. He's, "Get him off of me, Mommy, Mommy." And there was nothing. We couldn't see anything, but he said something was holding him down in that bed. And we were trying to get whatever it was off of him, but he couldn't. And all of a sudden, he sat up. He said, "I'm serious." And I said, "What in the world?" And so my husband said to me, that used to happen to me when I was younger too. I don't know what that is. It was a guy on Elder Ricard's show one long time ago. And that guy said it was demonic spirits, and he named it, but I don't think they like us to name those things, so I won't name the spirit, but I'm just telling you, this stuff is real.
Yes, it is. And we needn't be playing in that spirit realm. We need to make sure that we are grounded in Christ. And that he is care of us.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We got like 2 minutes. Sister Aura, can you close us out in prayer?
Okay. All right. Wow. All I can say is, didn't our hearts burn, Father?
Thank
you, Lord, for this day of sharing, Father. For letting each other know how you changed our lives, Father.
Amen.
That we were not just convicted, but you allowed us to be converted. You converted us,
Amen.
Father.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You saved us, Father. And we know that
only you
can do this, Father. We couldn't bring ourselves
Thank
out,
you.
Father. You brought us out, Father, and we're so
Thank
grateful
you.
For that, Father. We're so grateful, Father. And we pray and ask, Father, that we can continue seeking you, Father. Help us to continue dying daily to ourselves, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Let us not forget the goodness that you've done, your faithfulness, Father. Let us not let your death be in vain, Father.
Amen.
But you said that you started a work in us, and you will finish it until the day of the end, Father. So we're here, Father, just saying, Lord, keep us humble, Father. Keep us seeking. Please, Father God, we know that only you can do this, Father. There is none of that self-help stuff, Father. You are our Redeemer. You are the branch, the divine. We are the branch, Father.
Amen.
Lord, let us, if we get a loose, Father, graft us back in, Father.
Hold
our hand while we run this race, Father. And then, Lord, you said that we should go out and tell other people about you, Father. You said to talk to people, tell us about the goodness that you have done, Father.
Yes.
So, Father, we just pray and ask that we can continue to pray for our family members, Father, because we don't want our loved ones to be walking around aimlessly, Father. We don't even understand that, Father, but, Lord, we don't want to. We just want our children, our loved ones to know you, Father, and somebody to say, what must I do to be saved? And we can answer that question, Father.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we're just thankful, and we praise you, Father, and we ask
Thank
that
you.
We can come again, Father, in your name
Thank
next
God.
Week, Father. And we pray for a spiritual week, Father, a week where we're just praising you, Father, and seeking your face, Father.
Yeah.
These are many things we pray in your precious son, Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want everyone to remember to keep us
Love you.